let's go through the benefits of compliance. Of course, it's not that just it's a rule and that has to be followed. There are a lot of benefits that we get out of it. Let's take them one by one and understand it. So obviously, all benefits are broken into tangible and intangible benefit. The most important thing is the time and effort that is saved. So in case there is an issue, something that you need to check and ensure that you are regulated on it or you are compliant to it, then the time and effort that is required for it, it is saved. It also helps to make the process more vibrant and higher transparent. So there is a higher transparency if you have a compliant process where all the compliant points or the risk associated with it are easily seen. You have greater control over process. Since you have a process mechanism to change the process, you obviously have a greater control over it. You ensure that it meets all the requirements of the organization and the rules of the land and wherever you are operating, and therefore you have greater control over it. You can be more comfortable that the process laid down is getting followed and getting used. It enhances the accuracy and availability of reliable information. So because the process is compliant, all the information that is captured through it, and if it is automated, it is kept in the repository, then the data kept in that repository is more reliable, because the process clearly defines that you cannot change it. If it is changed, the reason of change needs to be known and things like that. Because the data is reliable, the data helps you in taking business decisions in a much comfortable manner, unlike non-compliant way where the data could have been changed and therefore you could be basing your decision on an unreliable data leading to errors. So in addition to it, it enhances the organization reputation, your brand image, because you are compliant, you're following the rules and you have proved that you're following the rules. The confidence of the investors and the shareholders improves, and the relationship with client suppliers and employees improve, because whatever process you've laid down, you're sure it's compliant and it is fair and it has higher transparency. That's the benefit of being a compliant. Also, from a compliance point of view, you have to look at what are the risks of non-compliance. So now there's a risk of non-compliance, especially non-compliance of laws. So if you don't comply to the laws, then obviously you have a huge chance of your business being closed down. The regulator can impose fine and penalties on you and can also force you to close down the business, because it can take away your license to operate the business. More importantly, it also, if you don't comply with the law, then your good clients, you can lose them. And because you lose your good clients, your business losses will go up or your revenue will go down, whichever way you have to look at it. Then you also get entangled with a lot of legal actions by authorities, which you want to avoid at any cost, because it takes away the management bandwidth from the business into ensuring that you're presenting yourself and replying to the legal action by authorities. And obviously then you get punished and you get fines, and that also increases your cost, maybe takes you into loss. All this now with high level of media presence comes into public domain very quickly, and that causes you a huge embarrassment. I mean, there are a lot of examples on how this has happened. Satyam is a good example again, where the MD CEO was well reputed and followed by everyone, suddenly lost eminence. There is a Rajat Gupta case for Indian School of Business, where insider information was used, it was proven, and the US court held him guilty of it, which caused a huge embarrassment to him and all the organization associated with him. Of course, because of the embarrassment, you have loss of reputation for the company, you don't trust the company, and it has an impact on your stock price. It crashes, and in many cases, you could also be delisted from the stock exchange. And of course, there are advantages of good compliance management. It helps, it's a foundation for a good control environment. It helps you to have a better brand image and creditable visibility. So when you announce a result, people believe in that result, they know the result is true, And when you say that this is something that we are going to do, there's a huge trust element which people have that this is exactly what you're going to do. It therefore obviously helps in strengthening your relationship with the clients. And because you have better client prospects in a competitive market, the chances of your business doing well goes up. It also acts as a safeguard against unintended non-compliance. So you may not intend to be non-compliant, but unintended, because you are following a good compliance management system, it safeguards you even unintentionally not to breach the compliant, and you will always be compliant. Because you are always compliant, you obviously avoid penalties and any legal implications of which could be imprisonment and cost savings emerging out of it. Since you follow the rules, it has a very healthy effect on the organization. People trust you. There is a trust in the organization, and employees feel nice about it. The shareholders feel nice about it. So therefore, all stakeholders are really enthused about working with you. It creates a very healthy environment for you to operate in. You are able to give a real-time status of legal and statutory compliances, and because of that, your goodwill increases and you become a good corporate citizen, and you get recognized also as such in the market and in many cases by the government itself or the regulator itself. Because of the benefits of being compliant, your international clients are asking for more and more quality process certifications. So some of the quality process certification which they are asking, and especially on the technology side we are talking now, is ISO certification, SCI CMM level certifications, CMM1, PCMM, and other such certification. But these are the key certifications they are asking, especially on the technology side. Now, does getting you certification is an advantage? No, it is not an advantage. It is required, and you have to be certified if you want to work with international clients. But not having a certification definitely becomes a disadvantage for you. Therefore, having a certification is required, is necessity, but not having will give you a huge disadvantage. Most importantly, if you implement any such certification, you get a lot of benefits out of it, and it becomes a good, effective ethics and compliance program, which far outweigh the cost that you take for implementing such certifications. So what are the other benefits that you get? So you have any potential risk, because the process that you define encompasses all this compliant requirements. The risk, potential risks are therefore assessed proactively and mitigated in timely and effective manner. So in the process, you define the risk, you define the compliant requirements, and therefore you put a mitigation plan in place. And if and when such risks occur and you have a mitigation plan ready, you can mitigate the risk in a timely manner and in an effective manner. Smooth running of business without hiccups. So obviously, if your process is well defined, you are taken care of potential risk, you have a risk mitigation plan in place, your business will run smooth. Any hiccups are easily managed because of having a mitigation plan in place. Because you do all such things, you are compliant with the regulatory obligations that you need to follow. And because you are compliant, there are no chances of fines and penalties that you will need to face. And therefore, it's very nice. Any threats that you get, you are better coordinated to respond to it. Surprisingly, because you are compliant, and being compliant means setting up a robust process management process, change management process, risk mitigation process, it gives you better agility in business. So new opportunity comes, you can meet the new opportunity in a much better way, because your processes are well laid down, you know how to attack it, you have to just tweak the process to meet the new business requirement, and you become very agile, and you don't compromise on quality while being agile as well. Now, you're so much focused to being compliant, to manage the risk, your operational effectiveness and customer responsiveness goes up. Because one of the things in compliance you will always check is customer complaint metrics and things like that. because you are going to look into customer complaints, you are going to have a plan to ensure that your customer complaints come down. You obviously, you are responding better to the customer. Because you are responding better to the customer, your brand image has gone up. Because your brand image has gone up, more customers are there with you. Because you have more customer, more business. And therefore, it helps you to grow your business. Now, what are the incidental benefits? Now, this is not listed down as benefits, but the incidental benefits of compliance-related IT investments are that we discussed this before, you have consistent process across multiple locations of an organization. You have ease in people transition because you want to move a person from one department to another. You can train the person well. The process is laid down. There is a system which manages the process. For any new person to learn this new process is very easy. And therefore, you can take advantage. As we said, one of the advantages is agility. So I can easily move a person into new business line and the person will be comfortable and ensure that he is following a process rightly. And that gives me a lot of ease in people transition. I get more reliable information. We have discussed this before because we know the process gives us data which is more reliable and I'll get information therefore which is more reliable and therefore helps in my business making ability. For managers, as I said, it helps in improve making a better business decision with reliable data backing it up. And it helps in reduction in cost of raising capital because the system is there. You're not going to bypass the compliant portion. The partners have more faith in you. And so if you need to raise capital, it helps in reduction in cost of capital because they don't need to add some risk factors while giving you money. So Kyoto Protocol is one example of being compliant. 180 plus countries signed the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change. So Kyoto Protocol is on climate change. And this was signed by 84 countries, including it was outlined to reduce the greenhouse gas emission. And it was signed by 84 countries, including US, EU, Japan, Russia, and Canada. And industrialized nations agree to cut their greenhouse gas emissions below a specific emission quota. So they listed it down. Therefore, they started monitoring. They realized how much greenhouse gas emission they were doing. And they agreed to cut it down by using energy source or a better management of the emissions. And they increased the emission levels, the control levels. And therefore, they set up their quota. Reebok was another good example. We discussed this before of compliance, where a web-based program to record social audit results in a structured and flexible database got created. And it helped in creation of Fair Factories Clearinghouse NGO, which helped them to ensure that their social audit results are always there. The member companies could use this software. And the software provided benefits of instant real-time data of any practices that are there in factory premise, increased consistency across human rights audit reports, and automated the data collection that are required for it. So they were very comfortable to announce that they and their partners, the vendors, are following a process which took care of the human rights of the people working with them. And it was a huge success. It is a huge success, in fact. Two aspects for this. So you could either have effort saving or mastering complexity. So documented and process driven approach benefits the organization in savings in managing the process assets. So whatever process that you lay down are your assets of the organization. And because it is documented and process driven, you are able to manage that assets in a very nice way. That is very important. You will be consistent and you understand and you can also reduce the process definitions and make it lean and you integrate with day-to-day operational tasks. Compliance needs to be intertwined with the culture of the organization. So that's very much important. Compliance has to be part of the culture of the organization. The culture should say that you will be compliant and you will not take shortcuts around it. Obviously, we've looked at the benefits, why compliance is required. We also, nothing as we discussed before is free, and there is a cost of compliance. Now, what is this cost? How does it impact? We'll just go through it. So, obviously, cost is in two forms, direct cost and indirect cost. So, the most important, the first thing that we look at is the direct cost. For direct cost, you will be moving experienced professionals to dedicate to spearhead quality improvement programs in the organization. So you'll move them from a revenue generation lines into managing quality improvement programs of the organization, which is a direct cost initially, but of course it gives return as we have seen the benefit out of it. But from a cost perspective, it's a first big cost that you take. Also, you will be hiring experts to do the process control, process management, and ensuring the process is robust enough to take in the compliant point. So there are experts that you will recommend, employ, and there is a cost of it. Management will review the efforts that are put in, so there is a management cost associated with it. And once you have a good process documented or a process driven approach in place, you will buy the systems. And there is a cost of implementing the systems. In addition to buying the hardware, software, even people cost to ensure that the system is implemented in line with the process defined. And so this is one time cost, let's say, or cost for some time. Then there is a continuous cost of compliance, which we have to look at it. So one is continuous monitoring. It's not that once you set up a compliance process that you will not monitor it, because without monitoring it, you will not be able to see if the process is working in line with the compliance requirements or not working in line with it. So you will need someone to monitor this, and that someone is a cost. It's a continuous cost of compliance. Measurement. You will start measuring it. Because you start measuring it and you will monitor it, there is a cost associated with it. You will build up control mechanisms, which could be cost, and this control mechanisms will keep changing, enhancing. There's a cost to it. Improvement focus, preventive and corrective measures, that once you see a breach of any process, you will list down or implement a preventive measure and work out on the corrective measures which would change the process itself. Now these are the continuous cost of compliance that you will have to take. Just to give you an international perspective, Gartner survey. Gartner is a well-known name in IT space. In its survey in 2005, it estimated that IT financial management spend was 15% of the IT budget. So management spend was 15% of the IT budget. Compliances were for OSHA, HIPA and EPA regulations, and this is high cost. Why should it be so high? The reason why it is so high is various interpretations of rules by auditors, learning curve to understand compliance, duplication and or redundancy in process. So because there was duplication of process, redundancy in process which was just getting added and not getting cleaned up fast, and of course various interpretation by auditors, learning curve required to implement to understand compliance led to this high cost. Now let's look at the IT cost for compliance. Now IT cost, again, combination of budgeted and non-budgeted cost. Budgeted cost is of course the hardware, software, training, documentation, day-to-day operations, people require and administrative line items. And unbudgeted is end user operations, top management review efforts, peer support, informal learning, application development, data management, downtime, things like that. Most importantly, there is a change in resource to cost pattern over a period of time. That has to be kept in mind. Now, what are the challenges of this compliance? Why are we doing it? What are the challenges that we are facing? So for the first time implementation, the challenge that we face is like writing a test case before actual coding. Now imagine, this is again more from a IT company point of view. Now you have got a requirement from the client. You start writing the code to meet the requirement. Maybe you do a little bit of a design after the requirement phase. Now a CMM or an ISO says that you must have a test case before you start coding. It's a huge mindset change for an developer to first list down the test case before he starts the coding. And that is the biggest challenge that they face. Then reviewing your own or your peers' work. So not only that, once you have done your coding, you review it or you ask someone to review it. Why would I want to review, ask someone to review my work? I think I have done a good job. But the process says that to ensure that it is really meeting the requirement, you should do that. And that's a huge mindset change again. Measuring defect removal efficiency. So you then measure the defects that is there. You identify it and remove it and find out if it has gone down over a period of time. Facing audits, taking care of any audits, documentation control, getting formal customer acceptance, managing configuration items, tracking customer complaints. It's a huge, huge mindset. This is a big challenge which you face while facing any compliant challenges of the compliant implementation in your organization. It requires high discipline, continuous monitoring and control. And in initial phases, it also means facing frequent audits and assessment to ensure that the processes that you have laid down meets the requirement of the organization. Now, because regulatory bodies are having an oversight into the processes of your organization, and that has only increased over a period of time, there are also challenges that came because of it. One of the challenges is maintaining the cost, because the number of people remaining same, the oversight, number of reports being asked has increased, and audits are increasing. How do you ensure that you manage the cost? It's a big challenge that are being faced by organizations across the globe. Even in regulatory bodies, there have been multiple regulatory bodies looking into the same regulations in a different way, and you have to handle them. So year on year, you have to handle multiple regulations or regulatory body, and that is a huge challenge. Technology change management. Over a period of time, the compliance, the regulations will change, your process will change, and which will lead to technology change management. Technology change management is not easy. It's a huge challenge. And if you have to look at various geographies, different locations, it just adds to the complexity. And compliance with different regulation individually, you create silos of the compliance project teams. So each team handles a different part of regulation in a different way, thus increasing your cost over a period of time. So this is just a small example of the complexity that and the challenges you faced in compliance. For an HIPAA securities rule, there are 42 administrative, physical and technically safeguard requirements. For the PCI standard, 12 high level requirement with approximately 212 detailed requirements that you need to meet. For COBIT, you have 4 domains, 34 high level objectives and 318 control objectives that you need to meet. And this number can go on and on. A single security control mapped to multiple regulation and standards and ensuring compliance with one can be used to check compliance with COBIT, PCI and ISO standard. We have looked into it with an example of user security, user access into the system. You can extrapolate such control mapping scenarios to a complex maze of servers, application, business units, multiple location, types of services. And this is a highly challenging task. You can't do it overnight. It takes time and effort. And you will detail the controls to address server areas, which itself is a huge task and exercise, as we have discussed before. Now we come to global So global compliance systems requires higher flexibility to deal with differences in regulations between countries. So if you are working in a different geographies under different rules and regulations of those countries, you have to look at the compliance in a very different way, and it's a huge challenge. So a single failure can lead to severe consequences. For example, a requirement of a backup site for business continuity requires having backups and teams ready for eventuality and associated cost. Maintaining consistency and quality of such compliance over a sustained period is a challenge. So the rule says that you must have a backup for business continuity, and the backup team and the process of ensuring that the backups take place, the team is ready to go in a DR site, and when the BCP call is taken, it sets it up for BCP, and that over a period of time to ensure that you do the BCP drill twice a year, maybe thrice a year, and ensure that you're ready in case of a disaster that takes place in the business is a serious challenge in terms of cost and effort for any organization. And of course, from a compliant management point of view, there's a huge challenge. In addition, technology itself creates a lot of challenge for this. The most important challenge is inadequate or outdated technology to meet compliance need. Technology, as we know, changes very fast in today's date and time. As a result of which, we also have to update our system to meet the compliance needs or even the technical needs of the organization. And you don't want to get into a situation where you have an inadequate or outdated technology to match the compliance need. Current hardware setup cannot meet long-term goals of compliance. Obviously, because compliance is changing, your hardware limitation to change any hardware setup takes time, effort, cost. And if it's not able to meet the long-term goals of compliance, then you are in trouble. So in India, for example, SEBI mandates some companies to hold data, retain data for 8 years. Now, just imagine you're going to keep data for 8 years on the server, which has to be available for 8 years. And then during the period of 8 years, you should be able to test it out, access it with the system, which will get soon, with technology, which gets outdated every 3 years or 5 years. It's a huge challenge to maintain it over a long-term period of time. And therefore, you will be finding it very, very difficult, or you have to constantly invest a lot to be compliant, technology be compliant, technically be compliant to meet the regulations in which you operate. It's a huge challenge. Obviously, the IT has a very limited understanding of the needs of non-IT departments, as a result of which they may miss out something, resulting into a huge problem for the organizations. And this we have already discussed. So I'm using one application today, and then I buy a new application. But the data of this application I have to use for, I have to keep it, let's say, for 8 years or 9 years. After some time, no one will know how to use this application. And because of which, whenever any data is required, let's say after 6 years, to be have the ability to access that data and show it to an auditor or the regulatory body is a huge challenge. And that is the limitation that we have to work and ensure that we overcome on a day-to-day basis. Again, there's no end to it. Lack of skill resource. Now, very, very difficult to get a skilled resource who understands technical skills and domain knowledge required for meeting compliance goals. There's a huge shortfall of people who understand both the domain side as well as the technical side. And over a period of time, this is going to get more and more difficult. And this lack of skill resource will lead to somewhere not able to meet the compliance requirement. And this means there's a huge job opportunity for a lot of people in this space. Lack of knowledge of IT tools and their potentials. This, of course, is little easily overcome, but many people who implement compliance systems are themselves not aware of the tools and the power of their tools, and therefore only use it for a limited area, while they could have used it for much, much more. I need not say anything more than companies hesitate to invest in new hardware. This we already know that very difficult because it's a cost. Justification of the cost is very difficult. Although compliance gives a huge advantage, but at the same time, continuous investment into that is as well required. Other challenges are duplication of data and efforts, island of information, inconsistency in information across departments, delays in reports, etc. This is more on the operational side of compliance, but it's still a challenge to ensure 100% compliance. Yeah, obviously we know managing compliance effort manually is not a sustainable approach. And therefore, you need compliance and security control knowledge base as an effective tool. So you have a knowledge base which ensures that compliance and security controls are there. And the challenge, of course, is selecting the right tool and framework for knowledge base, training staff, sustained monitoring, review of repository, compliance templates, data capture, consolidation, and management of it. As we discussed, while there's a huge benefit that we have got from globalization and virtualization, they have also added their challenges in compliance management. We don't know where the data is, who's accessing the data, who's accessing the physical server. All those accesses are created by the third party vendors. Are they right, wrong? So it has led to huge challenge. Mobile access of applications. So today we are accessing our applications through mobile. We don't know if there is a Trojan horse or there is a security breach on the mobile, and implementing a mobile device management is not so easy. It's very expensive, tough, but still you need to give access. Huge challenge that is coming up in it. License management. So all licenses are purchased basis the server management and the core and things like that, and suddenly one moves those applications or products into a global or virtualized environment. Many a times the IT heads or other people who are managing the license are not even aware whether the current set of license is valid for virtualization or not valid. And many times even the companies who give this software products are themselves not aware of the license usage and its implications. And this complexity or unknown or not knowing about it gives a huge area of discontent that can take place, leading to fines and non-compliance of license purchase agreements that have been signed 2 years back or 3 years back. This is adding a layer of complexity for technology. Tracking of all software development by companies getting very difficult. Impact of regular audits on client relationships. So you are doing audits, you are checking with the clients. It can have a small impact. The client gets frustrated, why are you doing every time? IT companies and people in companies on the IT side don't stay for long. They move very fast. So you have a continuous challenge of training them. Becomes very difficult as you go along, and you have to constantly endeavor that the new people who come are trained enough to ensure that there is compliance in your own IT system. We move to the next topic, which is categorization and classification of compliance. So obviously we know, we have gone through it a little bit in before. Compliance system and processes in a company depend on the following factors. The nature of business that you are working, the nature of the company, which is either public, government, private, etc. Range of business activities, whether you are local business or one state business, one country business or global reach. Jurisdiction in which you want to operate, size of the company, manpower size. Which are the technology systems you use are currently being used in the organization, stock market status, whether you are listed, not listed, and regulatory authorities with respect to your business operations. So in India, let's look at it. So if you were following corporate and economy laws, Then you are under Companies Act, Emblems and Names Act, Foreign Exchange Management Act, Prevention of Money Laundering Act, Intellectual Property Rights, etc. If you following security laws, then you are under SEBI and Securities Regulation Act, Sarbanes-Oxley Act, Commercial Laws, Indian Contract Act, Transfer of Property Act, Sale of Goods Act, Fiscal Laws, Income Tax, Customs, Central Excise, Labor Laws, Minimum Wages Act, Payment of Bonus, Pollution Environment Related Air Act, Water Act, Industry Specific Laws, Legislation Applicable to Specific Categories of Industry like Electricity, Insurance, Banking, etc. So, categories of compliance can be viewed as something which is mandatory and has to be followed, and something which is non-mandatory. The another way to look at it is whether it is vertical or horizontal. And the third categorization you can look at is whether the compliance that you are following are certifiable. That means someone can say yes, you are following the right compliance, or whether it cannot be certified, non-certifiable. So mandatory, obviously it is forced by legal requirements. You cannot say you will not follow it. And it is enforced through an act, rules or guidelines by regulators or certifiable standards. So it is a must do. Failure to comply is revealed during audits or incidents. So if you have not complied with it, any incident will either prove it, or through external auditors or internal auditors it will come out. And non-compliance of mandatory requirements will attract heavy penalties to the organization, loss of trust, imprisonment of persons accountable to address such compliance areas. So example is compliance of Sarbanes-Oxley Act as an example. Non-mandatory, which is forced by client's expectation or the organization's internal business drivers processes. Client will look for certificates or seal of compliance to some specifications by an independent agency. So quality management systems, ISO 9000, ISMS, ISO 27000, etc. are example of it. It is not mandatory. If you don't follow it, it is okay. But many times clients expect it to be followed. As we said, certification now is the norm and not an exception. If you don't have it, you may lose business. So you will have it, and they will, clients will look at some certification by an external agency saying you are following it. And that's about it. Horizontal, it basically implies specification or requirement with single objective to product services. So for example, ISO 9001:2000, very horizontal. Vertical, dependent on their product services, again ISO 2000, ITIL, COPC example. So it depends on the vertical, and this is on the horizontal. Certifiable are requirements that an enterprise will implement, monitor internally for non-compliance, regulatory improvement of the process. They are assessed by an independent third-party auditors, example QMS, ISO 9001:2000, ISMS 27001:2005, etc. And this compliance is verified periodically. The variant of this is for product verification and validation against a requirement, and it is done for a single specification. Reassessment may be required when the product changes any parameter or configuration. For example, Intel Inside or Seal of FCC, etc. Non-certifiable, where the requirements or guidelines or procedure to meet specific purpose and environment for which they are created, they cannot be certified. Practice for information security management systems, so BS, ISO, IEC 1779:2005, IEEE 80111B is a wireless communication standard. So standards are set, but it is not certifiable. So classifications are quite independent and can have a combination of these types. So having completed the IT compliance requirement, as always, in the end, we have some self-assessment question for yourself to go through it and go through the book that you have and check if you have understood it for yourself. So you have some questions for it. So difference between laws, rules, regulations, automation in compliance. Does automation really help in compliance, which we have discussed? You can check if you have understood it, and if you have understood it, just tick it for yourself. And factors involved in compliance management, things like that. And what is the meaning of certifiable and non-certifiable standards with examples. So with this, we come to the end of the second chapter. Thank you very much for paying attention, and all the best to you. Thanks.